Good morning. Welcome to our second Sunday in these strange video sermons, but we are thankful for the technology that is available, that we can do this, that we can record, that as pastors we can share the word with you, even though we cannot gather together. And so we're thankful for those things that aren't the real thing, and yet they're still beneficial to us. So let's pray together, and then we'll begin in the Word this morning. Father, I thank you that you are with us by your Spirit, that you've promised yourself to us in your Son, that you have accomplished all that is necessary for our salvation, and that you undertake for us as a people in hard times, in good times, in all circumstances. We can trust in you. We can know that as we look to your word, we have a sure, solid foundation. As we rest in Christ, nothing can shake us. And so, Father, we ask now that you would help us as we turn our attention to your word, and we look to you for the help that we need. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's turn together to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 9, and we'll be reading this morning from verses 10 through 17. Let's hear the Word of God together. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all that they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him. And he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countrysides to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You get them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to the disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Well, as we gather together in our homes this morning, we come from many different experiences from this past week, from even the past months. And what's going on in each one of our souls is different. We're not experiencing the same thing. And yet, for most of us, we are experiencing some kind of struggle on an ongoing basis, day in and day out. A struggle to find our satisfaction in Christ, a struggle to trust that in Jesus is the feast we need, that Jesus is more than enough to provide for all of our trials and all of our circumstances and all of our needs. Some of you this morning have recently experienced the sudden loss of a job, and though things might be going well for the moment, you're struggling, perhaps, because you don't know the future, struggling to trust that in Jesus you have all that you need in these particular circumstances. Some of you look at the news, the headlines day after day, and you're looking at all the trackers and you're seeing the cases of the spread of this virus, and fear may be rising up in your heart, and you're struggling to trust that Jesus is enough in these circumstances. For some of you, you're just stuck at home, and you want to be with people, and that's a good and right thing, and you're struggling to trust, struggling with faith to find that in Jesus we have a feast that satisfies no matter what else is going on in our lives. And that's the simple summary of this sermon. The simple summary of what I think this passage is about is simply that in Jesus we have a feast that satisfies. In Jesus we have a feast that satisfies. So let's begin by walking through this miracle here in this passage together. I'm going to just look back down at your copy of God's Word here in Luke chapter 9. And the first thing we see here is that the disciples have returned from this little mission that Jesus has sent them on. And as they return, Jesus takes them together to withdraw, to debrief, to teach them, to talk. And we see that in verse 10, he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. But as we see often in the Gospels, though Jesus and his disciples withdraw, though Jesus himself withdraws to spend time with his Father, the crowds always find them. And so here in Luke chapter 9, again, the crowds learned where they went, and so they followed him. And we see this beautiful moment here again and again just shows us the heart of Jesus Christ. As the crowds find them, he's withdrawn with his disciples, and yet he welcomes them. He welcomes the crowds, and he speaks to them of the kingdom of God, and he undertakes to cure those who are in need of healing. But very quickly in this moment, the disciples come to Jesus and they pose a problem. The day begins to wear away, and these men who are with Jesus, they notice that there's going to be a challenge very quickly. They say to Jesus, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding village in the countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for here we are in a desolate place." These men recognize that there's going to be a whole lot of hungry people soon, a whole lot of people who need food and shelter, and so perhaps it's time to send them back home. But Jesus has a surprising response for his disciples. You see that there in verse 13. He says, "You give them something to eat." Very likely not even in the realm of their imagination, certainly not what we would expect Jesus to say in this moment, but here it is, verse 13, "You give them something to eat." And in their response to him, again, what we see here is the extent of the need. We see the extent of the need. What do they say? "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless someone's supposed to go to town and buy food for all of these." And then Luke says in 14, "For there were about 5,000 men." This is no small gathering of 20 or 30 people that you could just kind of divide up and everyone gets their little quarter of a loaf and their little corner of a fish. No, this is a serious need. They're in a desolate place, Luke tells us. There's you can't just go and grab something from the garden. There's nothing of edible food here. And not only that, but all the food that's present, we see here in verse 13, is that they have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Barely sufficient food for the 12 disciples and Jesus, let alone for 5,000 others. And so we see the extent of the need. And we have to ask ourselves, we're going to ask the text, why does Jesus tell the disciples here, "You give them something to eat"? And that's the first point, I think, that we want to draw from this text here in this passage. The first point that Jesus is making as he tells them, you give them something to eat. He is making his disciples again aware of their insufficiency. He's drawing attention to their lack. They've just been on this mission. He gave them power and authority, and yet here they come and he just says, well, here's the problem. You give them something to eat. And so here's the first point. The first point Jesus is making here is you can't, I can. You can't, I can. The point for us here, as we come to this passage, as we reflect on this question, is you can't, I can't, but Jesus can. You see, as he moves forward without another word, he just says, have them sit down in groups of 50. And they do so, and then he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looks up to heaven. He says a blessing over them, and he broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And we see in verse 17, they all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. This is something that we forget time and time again. In our own minds, our own sufficiency rises as we've faced a few hurdles, we've faced a few challenges, we've gone for a while without being faced by our own need, without being directly faced by our own insufficiency. And Jesus comes to us with questions like this. You give them something to eat, and we're faced with this reality that we can't, but Jesus can. Not only can Jesus provide, but Jesus provides in abundance. We see that there at the end of the passage. As he breaks the bread and gives it to the disciples to set before the crowd, it says that all ate and were satisfied, and what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Not only can Jesus make the provision here for 5,000 men plus all the women and children who were present, but Jesus can do it with ease and with abundance. It's not just barely enough. There are 12 basketfuls remaining. This leads us, as we reflect on that first point, you can't, I can, it leads us to the second point that I think we need to see here. And that is how quickly our need is exposed. How quickly our need is exposed. Jesus has withdrawn with his disciples, and he's there. The crowds find them, and Jesus is teaching, and Jesus is healing. And it's just a few moments in. It's just one afternoon, and all of a sudden, we have this need facing the disciples and facing the crowd. Thousands of people who they've withdrawn from their places of home, their businesses, their towns, and how quickly they're faced with their own need. There's no food here for these people. A trip into the wilderness exposes a need of all these people, and Jesus' quick call to them, you give them something to eat, exposes the disciples' need, their insufficiency. They don't have what it takes in themselves. How quickly our needs are exposed. A lot of the world right now is thinking about needs that they did not think about 4 weeks ago. A little virus is moving around, and now all of a sudden, people are thinking about their jobs, things that they would not have even considered the possibility of losing a few weeks ago. People are thinking perhaps about their savings, their investments that they've seen dwindle down in a matter of moments. People are thinking about their health, facing this little virus, wondering if it will spread to people that they care about, wondering if they need to worry about it at all, and yet it's having such a profound effect in the world. How quickly our need is exposed. God pulls back the curtain on us and shows us what's been going on the whole time. You see, nothing actually ultimately has changed in the past 5 weeks. There might be a whole lot of people who are thinking about their mortality in ways that they did not before, but they were always going to be faced with that reality. People have died since the fall of Adam and Eve and will continue to die until the return of Jesus Christ in glory. People have been faced with the ease by which economies, governments, jobs can be affected, can change in a matter of days, in a matter of moments. And yet this was always the case. James tells us, don't say, tomorrow we will go and trade and do such and such. He says, if the Lord wills, these things are not in your hands, and they never were. But God's pulled back the curtain a little bit to show us that reality. He shows us our need by showing us just how truly not in control we are, by showing us just how quickly our needs can be exposed. And that leads us to the third point, which is really the center of this passage, which is the center of this sermon. We've said it already, but that's that in Jesus, we have a feast that satisfies. In Jesus, we have a feast that satisfied. This is the primary point of the miracle. This is the primary point of the miracle. In the miracle, Jesus provides materially for an immediate physical need of the people. He multiplies loaves and multiplies fishes so that they would be provided for in their hunger. But the primary point of the miracle is that in Jesus we have a feast that satisfies. Now, how do we make that connection? Well, the first area that we make the connection is by thinking biblically, whole Bible biblically, about this passage. And we find that there is biblical anticipation for God satisfying his people in the wilderness. We've seen it many times in the scriptures. A few that'll come to your mind right away, simply thinking of the manna. God teaches his people by providing manna in the wilderness. He teaches them that it's not about the manna. So in Exodus, he provides manna in the wilderness. But in Deuteronomy, he says this was to teach them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God satisfies his people in the wilderness. Isaiah chapter 25. Turn there for a moment. Isaiah chapter 25. In Isaiah chapter 25, we have this glorious scene in the context of a feast on a mountain where the defeat of death and the salvation of the people of God occurs. Let's just read a few verses here in Isaiah chapter 25, beginning of verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a feast of rich food full of marrow and aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples. the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The story of the Bible, the story of God with his people, leads us to expect the provision of a feast in the wilderness in connection with God's dealing with death and with the bringing of salvation. But the connection's not limited to just sort of these big picture things. The connection is related to the very wording of our passage here in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, the very wording draws us away to something else. There's three spots in the Gospel of Luke where we find these terms here together. The terms are found as Jesus takes the loaves, blesses them, breaks the loaves, and gives them. These same words are found again in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. Here we are again on the night that Jesus is betrayed. And it says, and he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it. Again, in a passage after the resurrection of Jesus, we have these terms again in Luke chapter 24, verse 30. He's been on the road to Emmaus unfolding the things concerning himself from the scriptures, and he goes in to stay with them. And in verse 30 it says, when he was at table, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. This miracle is not primarily about the provision of physical sustenance, though it involves the provision of physical sustenance. This miracle is pointing us to Jesus. Jesus is the bread that is broken, blessed, and given for a hungry people. In Jesus, we have a feast that satisfies. And John tells us as much explicitly as he records Jesus' own interpretation of the miracle. In John chapter 6, where Jesus himself says, I am the bread of life. And so with the time that we have left, we want to feast our faith specifically on Jesus. We want to look at the specific hunger that Jesus satisfies in himself. This truth that in Jesus we have a feast that satisfied is borne out in specific ways. The first thing that I want to see here with you this morning is that in Jesus we have a satisfying feast of mercy in forgiveness. That's the most direct application as we trace the line of those words through the Gospel of Luke, and we find them there appearing on the night that Jesus was betrayed as he teaches his disciples what he is about to do in the meal, and as he takes the bread and he breaks it as he has blessed it and then he gives it. And he is telling us that his body is given on the cross, broken for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And so, brothers and sisters, even as we sit in our homes right now, we need to know that in Jesus we have a satisfying feast of mercy in forgiveness. Jesus teaches us that this is a feast we need to delight in. We need to glut ourselves on this reality daily. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Today, this morning, your faith needs to feast on Jesus Christ and the mercy that is found in forgiveness there through the cross. The record of debt that stood against you canceled right there. Feast your heart in Jesus this morning. The second way that Jesus provides for us, that in Jesus we have a satisfying feast of purity in cleansing. Jesus does not just in himself provide for our forgiveness in his mercy, but he provides for our purity in cleansing. As he pours out his own blood on the cross, as he sheds his blood for us, it is in that blood that we find cleansing. Our sins don't just leave us guilty, they leave us dirty. And we experience that reality day in and day out as we sin in one way or the other, and Jesus has promised us. He's called us, in the words of John, that if we do sin, that he has provided, such that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, brothers and sisters, feast your faith here, day by day, moment by moment, cleansing not just for a year ago or a week ago, but cleansing now. Feast on Jesus now and know the cleansing power of his blood in a fresh way right now. Third, we see that in Jesus we have a satisfying feast of strength in weakness. We have a satisfying feast of strength in weakness. As the curtain is pulled back and we see how weak and helpless we are, how frail our countries are in their so-called power and our healthcare systems and all of these things, in Jesus we have a satisfying feast of strength in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul glories in that reality, that when he is weak, he is strong, because in his weakness, the power and strength of Christ is magnified, is shown forth, is abundantly provided. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning as we sit in our homes and we can't even gather, our weakness is apparent, it's manifest. Your weakness might be just apparent to you in many different ways that I cannot know here. But you know your weakness. As you face that next area that you know you need to grow in, as you face a challenge in your family, in your home, as you face a challenge in your work life, as you face challenges with your brothers and sisters in the church and you don't know what to do and you feel your weakness, know that in Jesus we have a satisfying feast of strength in our weakness. Fourth, in Jesus we have a satisfying feast of peace. Times that are filled with turmoil for us in ways that are perhaps unusual, in Jesus we have a satisfying feast of peace, first with God. In our sins, we're at enmity with God. In our sins, we're enemies of God. In our sins, we have a problem because we have not been reconciled to God. And yet God undertook in the person of his Son to make peace by the blood of the cross of Christ. And he has made peace. If you have turned from your sins and trusted in Christ, you have peace with God Almighty. And here's the feast. The feast is in Jesus, who himself is our peace. So feast your faith on the peace that is in Jesus Christ this morning and this week. Tomorrow afternoon, when you read the headlines again and you're tempted to be thrown this way or that way, you have peace with God in Jesus Christ, and not just there, but peace in the hardest circumstances. What has Jesus himself told us? To cast our cares upon God. Paul tells us that we're supposed to not be anxious, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, we're supposed to present our requests to God. And it comes with that promise that as we do that, the peace of God, which transcends, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. There is the satisfying feast of peace in Jesus Christ. So feed your faith there, brothers and sisters, this morning, this week, day in and day out. There is infinite peace available for every circumstance, in every way, in Jesus Christ. And the final word I have here from this passage is we see that in Jesus there's a feast. We see that in Jesus there's a feast of security. For our faith, there is a feast in Jesus Christ of security that can't be touched by anything. If you want to flip quickly to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Reading from verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." There is a feast in Jesus of security. "They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Here's a feast in Jesus Christ. Here is a feast for these strange and troubled times. Here is the feast that our souls need. So let us turn from looking to be satisfied in other things, from thinking that we can have hope by looking at a headline that's projecting that things will be better in a couple of weeks. Let's turn from looking for security to those provisions that we've made from ourselves. Let's turn from resting in things that are so quickly snatched away from us, and let's turn to feast upon Jesus, because in Jesus is a feast that satisfies in abundance. Let's pray. Father, you are good. And in Jesus Christ, your Son, you have provided richly. You have provided abundantly. You have provided infinitely for our every need. Oh, Father, by your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, would we feast and be satisfied in Jesus Christ. Christ. Amen.